שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים חמץ ומצה, הלילה זה כולו מצה. שבכל הלילות,
you see I'm going quick because we gotta move, the kids are falling asleep on me.
אנו אוכלים שהירקות, הלילה זה מרור. שבכל הלילות איננו מטפילים אפילו פעם אחת, הלילה זה שתי פעמים. שבכל הלילות אנו אוכלים בין יושבינו בין מסובין, הלילה זה כולנו מסובין.
So don't do this to your kids and do it as quickly as I just did it, because they get frustrated. But for us, we can move forward. Okay, so now we're going to start the answer. Now, there are two opinions as to how we do the answers. At this point, we uncover the matzahs, because we're going to continue the maggid, right? And we covered them as though we cleared the table, right? Now we uncover it, we're back with the table set, we're going to begin. Avadim Ayinu is the beginning of the recounting of our Exodus. Now, there are two opinions as to where you should start the story. Do you begin the story with the whole story of Yaakov Avinu being endangered by Lavan? Do you begin the story with Mitchilav David Azra Yoavotenu? Do you begin by saying, look, Avram's father was a pagan? Or do you begin the story with the fact that we were all slaves? Either way, you're going to say both. The question is only, where do you begin? And you're trying to show the child, Matchil Bignut Mseyem B'Sheva. You're taking him back in history to tell him, historically, things were tough on us. We start with the fact that once upon a time things weren't so good. And then we're going to lead into the Shevach, the praise of how good it is today. So let's begin. Avadim Einu L'Farob Mitzrayim. And here you have to talk on the child's level. We were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt. You know what it means to be a slave? It means that you cannot put your child to sleep at night. It means that children will wake up in the morning and their parents weren't home because the master decided that they have to be out working in the field. So by the time the child woke up, his father and his mother were out working. And if he was lucky, they had a minute to leave him some food to eat. So notice the example. We're going to talk in the language that's understandable to the audience. We don't want to scare the child, but we don't want to convey the message. We were slaves. You know what it means to be a slave? It means that you never have an option of taking a break. You never have a choice of what you're going to do with your time. And as the Egyptians habitually did, they would see a Jew having a free minute. They'd say, work, what are you doing having a free minute? And the Jew would say, I finished my job. And he would say, I want you to dig a pit right here, 10 feet deep. And the Jew would start digging. And when the Jew would finish, the Egyptian would say, now I want you to refill it. I want you to take the stones from that side of my yard and move it to the other side of my yard. And when the Jew would finish, he'd say, now I want you to move it back. Because their main point was make them work. It doesn't matter if there's a point or not. That's what's called avodas parech. Work with the intent of breaking the person. Their intention was not productivity. And that's why they had them build the city of Pitom and Ramses on quicksand. People died. The cities wouldn't be built. They would never succeed. It would be futile. It would break their spirits. They would never have a sense of accomplishment. You wake up in the morning and you say, what am I going to do today? Build another few layers on the quicksand and hope that I don't get sucked in? Avadim Ayinu. We were slaves. The worst thing is to be a slave. The master decides you don't go home tonight for dinner, you don't go home for dinner. There's no schedule. The master decides you're not eating today, you're not eating today. The master decides he's going to whip you, he's going to whip you. No boss. So how can you be a parent? How can you bring up a family? How can you be a responsible husband? How many times does a wife get annoyed when you come home late? You don't even know when you're coming home. She doesn't know when she's coming home. Avadim Ayinu, Lefaro. The king was the most wicked, notorious king that ever existed. Everyone knew you didn't mess with Paro, and you never got out of Paro. Paro was so brilliant and so cruel, no slave ever got out from under him. B'Mitzrayim, the city that were experts, their name, the name of the city is Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim comes from the word tsara, tsar. The name of the country is the country of affliction. It's like they used to say about Russia. Yeah. To say that their name is Rasha. Mitzrayim is by name, it's this country of affliction, the country that afflicts. We were in a country where no slave ever made it out alive of Egypt free. No one. We were slaves, and all around us there were people who were slaves, and no one thought they could get out, neither did we. But you know what? And at this point, I told you, I take off my belt and I hit on the table and I tell the kids, you see, the bad man, Paro, used to hit Abba. That's why I say to the little ones. Remember, at the very beginning of the Seder, I want to fulfill the obligation of telling the children the story on their level, the little ones, because I never know when they're going to conk out. So I begin with the little ones. I take the 5-year-old, the 7-year-old, and I say, what do you know? Tell me. What do you know about what happened in Mitzrayim? What do you know about Mitzrayim? Almost. What do you know about Mitzrayim? Tell me. Ah, there was a bad man. His name was Paro, right? His name was Paro. And he was very bad to the Jews. He hurt us very badly. So to the little ones, we speak in their language. And they would hit us. They would hit us. And then Hashem took some Mitzrayim. Look, that's where we're having this celebration here today. And the 5-year-old goes, Yofi. And you give him a candy and you did your story for the 5-year-old. And for the 7-year-old, you go into a little bit more detail, as we will continue. Hashem took us out. Hey, wait a second. What does it mean Hashem took us out? Why does it need Hashem to take us out? Why didn't we just go out ourselves? Oh, so the little one says, well, you couldn't. Ah, so you know what Hashem did for us. Hashem did great miracles with an outstretched hand. You know what Hashem did? An Egyptian would take a cup of water and what would happen? And the kid says, I know, it turned to blood. Right, it turned to blood. Right, you know. Frogs jumping all over. Oy vey. So, you know, Hashem did miracles. If Hashem would not take out our forefathers from Egypt, we'd still be in servants there. Because you know what? The Jews were forgetting what it was like to be Jewish. We're going to say, the Egyptians made us evil. When the Egyptians saw they couldn't break the Jewish spirit, you know what they did? They invited them to church. They said, come pray with us. We're going to treat you like equals. Come, learn what it means to be a non-Jew. Come be pagans with us. And the Jews were being drawn in. And it was a matter of minutes. If the process of Yetzias Mitzrayim wouldn't have happened, the Jews were on the brink of total annihilation. Their spirits were gone. We were on the 49th rung. We couldn't handle it anymore. So if Hashem wouldn't have taken us out of Egypt, we'd still be there. Oh, there were revolts. The Egyptian empire crumbled. But there'd be no remembrance of the Jews. There'd be nothing left to take out. It's not that the Egyptian empire was eternal. It's that we wouldn't last. So if Hashem wouldn't have taken us out, so even our grandchildren would still be in servitude to Pharaoh in Egypt. And that's why, and if all of us are wise, understanding elders, and we're masters of Torah, we still have a mitzvah to tell over the story of how we left Egypt. And the more you tell, the better. So that's why you have to know a lot of Midrashim. That's why after this model Seder next week, we will also continue with Midrashim and stories so you know how to enrich your Seder. Okay, Maaseh. We have a story about Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, who was whom? Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus, I have to drink, forgive me. You're allowed to drink between the first two cups, but you shouldn't drink grape juice or wine. You're allowed to drink like a Coke or a cup of coffee. But, okay, I'm just losing my voice. So you don't drink too much more grape juice, because it'll seem like you're adding to the 4 cups of wine. That's why I don't drink more than that. Most houses, and the custom is that we do not drink between the first 2 cups. But technically, halachically, it's permissible. So don't go and ruin your host Seder and say, buddy, I just heard we could have coffee. You want to bring out the coffee? You know, you're a guest. That's not your job to behave that way. You have to be polite. But technically, when you run your own Seder, so traditionally, we do not drink between those 2 cups, but it is permissible. And if you feel like you need that cup of coffee or that cup of Coke, so you're allowed to between the first 2 cups, just like between the second and third during the meal. Also, between the first and second, you're allowed to take a cup of Coke or a cup of coffee. If that'll help you stay awake, that's permissible at that time. Meaning throughout the Maggid, you are allowed, until you get through most of Maggid, till the end of Maggid, you're allowed to drink. So we have the story. Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus and Rabbi Yoshua ben Hananya, the Levite, and Rabbi Loza ben Azariah, the Kohen, and Rabbi Akiva, the Ger, and Rabbi Tarfon, the Kohen, Shayum Subin b'Vnei Brak. They were all sitting in Bnei Brak by Rabbi Akiva. And all night long, they were telling one another the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Now, these are the great sages of the Mishnah. But they knew it all. The Mishnah is their writings, is their sayings. Yeah, but you have a mitzvah to tell it over all night. Until the students came and said to them, Rabbi, it's time to say the morning Shema. But you see, they kept going. That's, you guys asked me, how late are we going tonight? I said, 2. You said, what? I said, 3. You said, what? I said, 4. You said, what? I said, okay, we'll go to 5. We'll daven 8. Why? Because we're practicing for the real thing. So the more you say, the better. So there's no reason you shouldn't go till sunrise. Many years, our Seder went almost to the crack of dawn. Many years. Why not? That's our mitzvah. Tell as much as you can. So now, the Haggadah quotes an interesting thing that really doesn't have that much to do with the Seder. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, you know, every night we have a mitzvah to talk about it. That's not the same mitzvah as tonight. On the Seder night, the mitzvah is to tell over the story. Then you have a mitzvah every night to mention, to remember the Exodus. Not the same mitzvah. So we quote this. We're illustrating the importance of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said, "Aranik ben 70 shana." I look like a 70-year-old. He looked very old. They appointed him as leader when he was 18, and his wife said, "How could you be the leader if you're a young man?" So that night, Hashem made 18 rows of white hairs grow in his beard. So now he looked older, and then he was appointed the nasi. So he said, "It's as though I'm an old man." And I was never victorious against the sages to convince them that even at night, every night, we have a mitzvah to recount the Exodus until Ben Zoma taught. It says you should remember the Exodus from Egypt all the days of your life. If it would just say the days of your life, that would mean every day we have to recount it, like we do in the Shema of the morning. Why does the verse add, "Kol yemei chayecha," all the days of your life? To tell us, halelot, that at night we also recount the Exodus. The sages say, "Kol yemei chayecha" is telling us, even in the eternal life, you're still going to talk about the Exodus from Egypt. So this is giving us a tremendous insight. What are we doing here? You guys want Kabbalah, yeah? Okay, that's a generation. So I'll tell you an interesting insight as to what's going on here. Part of what we have to contend with at the Seder is the kids saying, "I don't understand, Dad. We're sitting here in Russia behind a fake wall. You're scared that any minute now the KGB could come in and throw you behind bars. Our grandfather died in Siberia. My uncle is sitting in Siberia on the verge of death. Hey, what kind of freedom? What am I celebrating here?" The guy, imagine the guy sitting at the Seder in Krakow in 1941. "How are you celebrating the Seder? What freedom are you telling me about, Dad?" So we begin the Seder by telling him, you know, we're supposed to speak about the Exodus from Egypt by day and by night. The Exodus is what gives us strength even at the times that are like night. There are times when you don't feel like things are shining for the Jewish people. But you know what? At nighttime, Nagit Chastecha ba... when things are shining like daytime, it's easy to recount how kind Hashem is. But then at nighttime, when things are unclear, they're dark, things are not working out the way we'd like, then we speak about our faith. And what we're doing tonight is what gives us that faith. Because the Jewish people had it so bad in Egypt, and still they had no reason to anticipate salvation. They had no reason, there was no logical reason they could ever expect to leave Egypt. And look, Hashem took them out. So that gives us strength. And every morning and every night, we remember that. Even in the world to come, we're going to talk about it. But things were so bad there. So we bless Hashem nonetheless. There's a song for this. You guys ready?